In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Some people argue that homosexuality was never mentioned by Jesus in the Gospel. And therefore, since he never mentioned anything against homosexuality, it's perfectly good and perfectly proper if a person has same-sex attraction to live with a homosexual lifestyle. Same argument, by the way, is made about abortion. Since the Lord in no place in the Gospel ever said something directly against homosexuality or abortion by name. This actually shows that people are very biblically illiterate. They don't understand the Bible. They don't understand the Bible's purpose. They don't understand that the Bible is a summary and not a complete summary. It doesn't have every last word about everything human beings can do. But it does have the law of God, and the way we should live. And according to the way we should live, it is obvious that homosexuality or abortion are things that do not lead to God. They lead away from God. Now, the same people that will say Jesus never talked about homosexuality will also say, why do you talk about this stuff so much? You seem to be obsessed. There's other important things. There's hunger, and there's war, and there's poverty. Well, they don't understand something else. The world is awash in immorality, all kinds of immorality. But sexual immorality kind of brings multiple kinds of immorality together. Adultery is not only a sexual sin, but it's also lying and deceiving and other such things. Any society that is sexually immoral will have many other kinds of immorality. Now, the Lord did speak things that are directly applicable to homosexuality, and only those people that severely misunderstand the scriptures and have agendas, whether they understand they have agendas or not, don't know this. He said in the Beatitudes, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. He also said, quoting the commandments when he was asked by the lawyer, a question, he said, thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, etc. Now, adultery, the seventh commandment, is more than just a married person having sex with someone outside of marriage. It's always been understood to be sexual contact, sexual congress outside of marriage, period. And it is clear from the scriptures, from the history of the church, from the history of society until recently when we're losing our minds, that it is only possible for there to be marriage between a man and a woman. Genesis says that, and our Lord quotes that in Matthew. He says, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one. The Lord mentioned sexual morality in the context of marriage only. It is not possible to have marriage outside of a man and a woman cleaving together. And therefore, any sexual contact that is not marriage is sin. Period. So the Lord was explicit about sexual sin, if we understand the Bible correctly. Now, we should also understand another thing, that homosexuality was explicitly condemned in the scriptures. In Leviticus, for example, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind, it is an abomination. Now, some people are upset with this word abomination. They think, that's a very judgmental word. That's a phobic word. That's an unloving word. That's an unchristian word. That's because they don't understand the scriptures. An abomination is something which leads you away from God. Something which kills the soul. You would not want the one you love to be doing something that's an abomination because it is bad for their soul. A person who loves someone is not phobic. They're not afraid to speak the truth to them. That's true phobia. They're not unloving. The unloving person is unwilling to tell someone the truth because of their fears. Part of the problem of why people can make such rather crazy assertions about homosexuality and saying the scriptures justify it is because they don't understand the purpose of life. Jesus Christ came so that we could fulfill our purpose. Our purpose is very clear: to know God, to know Him intimately, to become like Him, to have union with Him. It is only possible to have union with Him if we grow in purity and in all of the virtues. Homosexuality does not lead into the virtues, nor does any other immoral sin, such as heterosexual fornication, or lying or stealing, or hurting others or slandering. Our purpose is to become like God. Sexual sin is not like God. That's why we do not do it, or why we should struggle against doing it. Why do people justify homosexuality so much? That's a big question. It's justified everywhere. Certainly our politicians are doing it. Everybody is. Our schools are doing it. People in everyday conversation are doing it. Why? Well, one of the reasons for some people are that they're making an excuse with excuses and sins. That's been the case throughout history, that people make excuses for their sins. And so there's a whole kind of subculture that's grown up that justifies homosexual sin, and heterosexual sin for that matter now. It's kind of assumed that people, if they're going out, they're sleeping together. And there's justification of that made. But I think most people will justify sexual sin because they've allowed the propaganda of the world to affect their thinking. The peer pressure of the world is tossing them about with every wind and wave of doctrine. The world says there's no sin except thinking things are sins. The world says that if you call a person something, if you say they are doing something wrong, it's mean. And people are bludgeoned into not having the courage to say what they believe. But also, many people now, they truly believe that homosexuality is justifiable because it's been repeated to them so often. There's another thought that if you do or feel something sincerely, it must be good. And there's supposed biological evidence, which is really immaterial. Does it matter if this biological evidence is true or not, that people are born homosexual because of their genetics, and therefore they can't change their sexual orientation. And therefore it would be cruel to oppose someone who has this orientation, because it would be committing them to a life of loneliness, for example, or unfulfilled sexual desire, as if sexual desire is the most important thing we must fulfill in our life. Well, it doesn't matter if a person is born homosexual or becomes homosexual, if they have an orientation that cannot change or not, because there's a whole lot of heterosexual people in the world that have an orientation that will never change. And they are called to sexual purity as much as a homosexual is. An unmarried person, if they are to be leading a God-pleasing life, is not engaging in fornication, plain and simple. But our culture doesn't understand that, because we define meaning with the things we do, the things we want, the things we desire. And there's always examples. Some of us know them, and some of us just have apocryphal tales that are told to us of these very beautiful homosexual couples who are virtuous and good. You can find plenty of them, because there are good people all over the world. And then you can find heterosexual couples that treat each other terribly, and people who've been through 6 marriages and everything else. But people are using relativistic thinking in order to define whether homosexuality is good or not. We don't do that. We use God's thinking. God has said, Tom, some things are good for us and some things are not. And the reason why we should avoid impure things is because they do not lead us to God. Pure and simple. Impurity affects the whole man. Here's what the the apostle said about fornication. Know not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall then I take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What, know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication is against his own body. This is why we as Christians oppose all fornication, homosexual fornication, or heterosexual fornication. Now, how do you deal with a person that is a homosexual, as a friend, or an acquaintance, or whatever else? Well, with an acquaintance, you must be very careful, because the only way really to help a person deal with deeply embedded sin is through a personal relationship. It's not right to just walk up to people you barely know and tell them what they're doing wrong. But if you have a personal relationship with someone, you can proclaim the truth with love to them. Never do we compromise the truth. Never in order to supposedly not be phobic and not be unloving will we tell somebody, oh, what you're doing is just fine, God blesses it. Never, we can never do that. But we encourage people. We meet them as human beings. We have personal relationships with them. And then it's quite easy. Or actually, I could say it's simple. Never compromise the truth, but always be full of love. And that's all pastoral work is. Don't compromise the truth, but love. So I encourage people. I hear their confessions. I give practical advice. There's lots of things that you can do to deal with sexual impurity, regardless of which orientation a person has. There's lots of things. There's Prayers for Purity, a booklet I pass out a lot of. Getting rid of pornography, which just pervades our society all over. Fasting, confessing, communing frequently if possible. And reading the scriptures, reading the Psalms. Lots of things. Don't listen to the lie that the world has told you, that homosexuality is perfectly natural, perfectly good, that it's biological. It's biological that people get angry when people are, certain things happen and murder. And that's not in God's plan. It's biological that most people are attracted to the opposite sex, and fornication with the opposite sex will not lead to God. Don't believe these lies. Jesus Christ spoke out quite firmly about sexual immorality. And sexual immorality has always included homosexual conduct. May God help us to live pure lives and to come to the knowledge of God. Amen.